1170, In re Ronald Katz Technology. Mr. Mead.
Good afternoon, Your Honors, and may it please the Court. This case presents a straightforward issue of meansless function claim construction.
Mr. Mead, can I ask a question up front about the 551 patent, which is the case, the patent in front of us, correct?
That's correct, Your Honor.
Okay. In looking at your statement of related cases, I realize that certain of these cases are totally concluded. Now, I'm trying to find out if there is a case alive today in which the 551 is being asserted.
There is one case alive today in which the patent is being asserted. That's the case cited the third bullet point here on page one of the blue brief.
Is that the Eastern District, Texas case?
That's the correct case. The case has actually been transferred now following remand from the multi-district litigation
panel.
It's
scheduled for trial in 2016. And I'm looking at the scheduling order that was actually proposed by your client. And it says that you're only asserting two claims in the 547 patent. And I traced back, and according to what I can find in the file, in the California proceeding in the multi-district litigation, the 551 dropped out.
The 551 patent is still asserted in that litigation. Upon the entry of the board's decision, as it stands now, which is on appeal now, finding the claims invalid, the claim is not currently asserted in the litigation, because we don't dispute that if the board's decision stands, this collateral estoppel applies effectively, blonder tongue collateral estoppel, and the claim would no longer be asserted. However, the claim is here on appeal, hasn't been withdrawn from the FedEx lawsuit, the patent is still asserted, the claim is in the case. It's not currently asserted because of the board decision that currently stands and binds, but subject to this appeal.
I'm looking now at a document that was filed by FedEx in the proceedings that noted that over in California, what happened was all but one, all the claims were eliminated except for the other case. And then there is an argument here that the 551 could be reasserted, right, if we were to reverse in this case.
Essentially reasserted, or whatever the correct legal terminology might be, it's not currently asserted because of the currently, you know, the board decision is the current word.
Because of the board decision is the reason why the trial order contemplates only trying the, what's the number of the other patent you probably know?
It's 6292547 is the,
yeah,
the other patent.
Yeah, the claims 11 and 18 of the 547.
Correct, or I believe it may just be claim 18, but that's the patent. And so this patent is not out of that case, has not been withdrawn from that case. When I say this patent, I mean the 551 patent, 5815, 551, currently subject to this appeal.
Well, as I say, it looks as if the 551 came out of the case when the case was in California. Before the case ever gets transferred back to Texas and then over to Tennessee.
The document you're reading from is obviously not part of the record here. I don't have that in front of me. If that's a representation made by FedEx, it's incorrect to the extent that it would suggest that patent has been in any way withdrawn or that the claim will never be asserted. Currently, there's a board decision and the patent owner respects.
No, I mean, I'll be perfectly honest with you. In a FedEx filing,
mm-hmm.
FedEx says, most recently claim 19 of the 551, 19 depends from 18, was invalidated by the PTO. That decision is currently on appeal to the Federal Circuit. It's not a factor in this case unless the Federal Circuit reverses the PTO cancellation.
What you just read sounds consistent with our position, the unless and until of this appeal, right?
So, but in the event, if this appeal were to resolve in your favor, then you would need to amend the scheduling order if you're going to bring the 551 back into the trial, correct?
perhaps amend in some regard. I mean, the trial date is not actually until May of 2016, which was at FedEx, which was an accommodation actually to FedEx and its counsel. The patent owner had requested an earlier trial date because the case has been pending actually about 10 years now. So, I can't say exactly what the effect would be depending on the decision of any, or the timing of any decision from this court and what still needs to be done before trial in that case. So, presumably some type of amendment, although I do know the trial is not until May of next year.
Okay. I was concerned because, I mean, it would have been a little bit helpful to us if you might have been able to update your statement of related cases so we could have followed the case over to Tennessee.
I apologize for that, Your Honor.
Should that time come off the clock?
Well, we'll be generous if we if we need it.
I'm sorry.
Thank you. No problem, Your Honors.
You can see where I was going. The case would be moved unless if the only case in which Mr. Katz has that 551 going is in the case that's down in Tennessee now.
Correct.
And I mean, because the patent has expired and 6 years has elapsed, if it weren't for that Tennessee case, this appeal would be moot.
Correct, as far as pending lawsuits, moot in the sense of
there's no future lawsuit to be filed.
Correct in that regard. That absolutely, Your Honor.
So I mean, but for the footnote, just that the fact that the 551 is potentially revivable for trial. In the Tennessee case, we'd dismiss this case for mootness.
Makes sense.
You'd be moving to have the case dismissed as an officer in the court. You'd be moving to have the case dismissed, I believe.
That absolutely makes sense, Your Honor, and that's why we have. And I apologize for not updating the case caption there.
Yeah. Okay, wanted to proceed with the merits.
So, the issue here is means-plus function claim construction issue. The function is undisputed, it's never been disputed, to control processing formats of the analysis structure in accordance with Venus. In the proceedings below, in a multi-year re-examination proceeding, the examiner correctly construed the corresponding structure. The examiner did a means-plus function analysis, looked at the specification, concluded the associated structure is, quote, readily apparent, unquote, from the specification. This is at JA2277. Corresponding structure that the examiner determined.
When you say the function is agreed by everybody?
That's right, Your Honor.
Well, what? If you look at Claim 18, Claim 18 is adding something to Claim 14, right?
Correct.
14 is being invalidated. And so for us to identify exactly what the function is, we say, well, what is added? What is the means limitation is what's adding something to narrow Claim 14, right?
Correct.
And isn't it DNIS? And DNIS is simply the ability to identify a phone number and then to understand what it is that phone number is trying to do. And for example, if there's a number, 1-800-999-99999 is the number you dial if you want to get an American Airlines reservation. That what this means is that when I dial that number, it identifies the number, and then it knows that wants to go to American Airlines reservation.
So I'm very glad Your Honor asked that question. Part of the function relates to DNIS. That's why it's critical, as the court has repeatedly cautioned, we have to look at precisely what the recited function is. Here, recited function is to control processing formats of the analysis structure in accordance with the DNIS signals that Your Honor just described. It's not merely to identify a format based on a DNIS signal. It's not merely to select a format based on a DNIS signal. It's a more encompassing term to control processing formats of the analysis structure. And as set forth in the papers, there's an analysis structure, there are processing structures that implement formats which are essentially interactive call processes.
Isn't it a meaning to control DNIS?
It's to control the formats. And I don't believe there's been any dispute, obviously.
Parse the language. Mm-hmm. Control the formats of, right? Control the processing formats of the analysis structure. The analysis structure is in the last clause of Claim 14, isn't it?
Correct.
All right. So what you're doing is that you're in all that is just an analysis structure. So what 18 is doing is narrowing the analysis structure into whatever they're talking about here, which is DNIS, right? And so the signal provided by the communication facility is just the telephone call number. And all that is indicative of one of many numbers. So it's what it's doing is it's giving some control to that number. And isn't that control only saying, well, if when you dialed that number, you're trying to get American Airlines?
As I tried to just articulate it, the function is not simply that. Certainly, the identification of the format based on DNS may be encompassed within the recited function, but it's something broader. It's controlling the formats, controlling the operation in accordance with DNS. It's not simply...
DNS, for example, has got nothing to do with voice interface, does it?
So
DNS doesn't have anything to do with voice recognition or anything having to do with voice over a call.
Not per se. That's correct insofar as it goes. The interface structure, which is what controls the processing formats and is the means here, happens to include various functionalities, including voice generator structure. So it's, in that sense, has something to do with it in terms of being in the same unitary structure.
Right, but what I was trying to get, the reason why I stopped you on what the function is it seems to me you got real claim construction. You should just say exactly what is 18 doing. And 18 clearly is doing DNS, right, tying it to that.
DNS is clearly involved, it's expressly
which
involved.
It's not there. Involved in the final limitation in Claim 14 is broad, could be anything.
Correct.
So it's narrowing it all to DNS. DNS has got nothing to do with voice recognition.
Voice recognition itself is not how DNS is used in the patent.
DNS is just saying, I know what the number was.
And
the fact that the number I gave went to American Airlines reservation is something that's what the control function is to know that number goes there. Isn't it?
So the control function, which, as we've explained in the papers, is the interface 20 device, including the call data analyzer. So the call data analyzer, there's no description whatsoever in the specification of what it does other than its name indicating call data analyzer, just as the name indicates, it only analyzes. So there's an incoming data stream of call data, which includes various information which needs to be analyzed and interpreted. The call data analyzer analyzes that information, makes available the DNIS, the dialed number digits, to the interface 20, which it's a part of, and then the specification repeatedly describes in the passages we could look at, cited in our brief as well. It's the interface 20. That's the description of the unitary device that is.
Well, but doesn't the spec at line at column 4 and down line 63 or 4 say that control for this ANI DNS capacity is provided through the call data analyzer?
The specification says that, and there are two reasons that passage does not sufficiently link the call data analyzer by itself to perform the function as recited in the claim. First is...
Well, where does it say that the interface provides the control for this DNS capacity?
So, to answer your previous question first, the call data analyzer, there's no description in that cited passage, which is the only thing the Patent Office relies on, of controlling formats of the analysis structure. So that passage does not link the call data analyzer by itself. And then to answer Your Honor's question about where in the
specification... So why doesn't link to the call data analyzer? I mean, what I'm talking... maybe I'm simple-minded, but the way I understood the way 112.16 goes is that once you identify the function that is associated with the means for doing a function, right? Then you go looking for what is the clear indication in the spec that what we're talking about is structure that performs the function, right?
Absolutely.
So I got DNS mentioned in the means limitation. And what we're trying to do is to control DNS, is what I read the claim to say, and what I believe the PTO, the board read the claim to say. So I'm now looking in the spec to say, is there anything in there where the patentee said, to control DNS, you use X structure? And the point, what I pointed to, you said they look to 20A. We know that 20A is a subset of 20. It's like, you know, like a box. And maybe voice recognition takes place someplace else in 20, but not in 20A. Because we know voice recognition doesn't work in 20A.
So there's no description whatsoever in the specification of the call data analyzer by itself controlling processing formats of the analysis structure. That's the recited function here. That's the yardstick that must be used to determine it. The call data analyzer absolutely is part of...
Where is the clear description in the spec that says, well, if it isn't 20A, it's 20, section 20 is the structure for all the functions.
I'll give you several citations. Column 18, lines 61 through 65.
18?
Mm-hmm.
One, how much?
Lines 61 through 65.
And what does all that say?
What that says, among other passages we can look at, is by DNS, you have basically what this is describing an embodiment. We have different.
We're talking about DNS and starting at line 51.
No, 61.
61.
So line 61, each of the several telephone stations or television stations would solicit calls for different numbers as a result, either by DNIS or call channeling, select processors, i.e., and the i.e. is my commentary, that the processors are what implement the formats. And as described elsewhere and as we've presented in the papers, and I think there's no dispute on that, those processors implement formats, different ones are reached by DNS, and then returning to quote the specification, select processors would be reached through the interface units, e.g. interface 20, figure 1. That's a clear link between interface 20 and the identification of format and the control of the formats in accordance with DNS. There's no description whatsoever linking the call data analyzer by itself with controlling the processing formats of the analysis structure.
Why does column 4 of the thing I quote then tell us that the control is provided through the call data analyzer? But how do I square those two?
Because what is provided in column 4, it does not say the control of processing formats of the analysis structure. This is just a generic structural description that says DNS is available, ANI, which is calling number capability, is available. Both capabilities are available for use with equipment as the interface 20, so that those are associated with the interface 20 itself and to provide control through the call data analyzer. Our function here is to control the processing formats of the analysis structure. That's not described here. And furthermore, there's no description that the call data analyzer itself, by itself, is the structure that controls.
When I asked you the question, where would we find something in the spec to support item 20, you pointed to column 18. You said there were others?
Another one, and this is the one that the examiner correctly recognized as being readily apparent and teaching precisely what was undisputed below until the final board decision. Column 6, lines 32 through 46. And that's a fair amount of text. I'll point to the latter part of that and where the specification says the ACD associates the called number rendered available using standard telephone DNS techniques through the interface 20 and then the switch to attain connection with a specific processor, e.g. the processor PR1, formatting the health-related program. Accordingly, the processor PR1 cooperates with the interface 20 to cue the interface 20 to operate as a voice generator. And this tells us multiple things that are critical here. There's no mention whatsoever of the call data analyzer 20A. It's the interface 20, and they're describing how this actually works in practice. It's the interface 20 is the only linked structure there as a unitary structure that provides a connection to particular processors implementing different formats. And I know we're well over time here.
Yeah, I'm going to cut you off now, and we'll restore 3 minutes of rebuttal.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Mr. McBride?
Yes, good afternoon, and may it please the Court. I'd like to follow up on a few points that Judge Clevenger raised. Appellant's counsel argues that the call data analyzer does not perform the claim function by itself. But the words by itself are not part of the claim language, and furthermore, the case law concerning means plus function doesn't require the corresponding function to actually perform the claim function by itself. The fact that it requires a connection to another component, in this case, the interface and the switch, and if you look at page figure 1 at page 25 of the joint appendix, it shows that the interface 20 and the call data analyzer are connected to switch 21. Page 25 of the joint appendix?
25, okay.
Yes. And we're looking at figure 1 here, and you'll see that the interface 20 and the call data analyzer 20A are connected to switch 21. Okay, and then switch 21 is connected to the processors, which is the analysis structure.
So they're both connected to the switch.
Exactly. Exactly.
And the interface is a two-way switch. The call data analyzer is one-way, right?
That's what it appears from.
What's the difference?
From the figure one.
What's the difference in electronics? If the call data analyzer is a one-way switch, right? So it's just all it is sending something to the switch.
Right. It's connected. It's connected to the switch.
Then there's no capacity to confirm back, right?
I believe that's correct.
So let's say that that in my hypothetical, you dial a certain number to get American Airlines reservation service, and the last four digits were 000, four zeros. In the telephone book.
Okay.
Right? But American Airlines actually changed that number to 0001 now for its real number. But I don't know that. But a processor knows it. And so when I dial 0000, right, that number would come into the call data analyzer. It would go over to the switch, right?
Correct.
But the number had been changed to 001 inside the processor. Wouldn't there need to be a confirmed number back somehow?
Under that circumstance, you'd probably have to somehow reprogram the call data analyzer to understand
right,
that the
so
number
it,
has.
Right, so the electronics would have to come back the other way. Or suggest you need a two-way communication from that. I'm looking at the line between the call data analyzer and the switch. It shows the electricity going only one way. Right?
Yep, I see that arrow. Yep.
But we come back. Take your adversary's argument on its face. If you look at column 6, right, that he points to.
Yes.
He's saying you get the call signal, which is 33333, right?
Right.
And then what it does is to hook that number up to the correct processor. Now, in my hypothetical, the correct processor is American Airlines Reservation Service, right?
Correct.
Right. So what it's saying is that the DNIS capacity is both to recognize the number, i.e. that was number dial, and then to associate it with American Express reservations instead of United Airlines, right?
Right.
So isn't the language that's just been quoted to me in column 6, isn't that talking about what the function of claim 18 is?
I think what column 6 and what this disclosure is talking about is it says you do have to go through the interface to connect to the processors. You also have to connect from the interface to the switch. So the interface doesn't actually perform the claim function by itself. And appellant's counsel said that was the main reason why the call data analyzer could not be the corresponding structure, because it does not perform the claim function by itself. But the case law is clear. Just because a connection is required to enable the corresponding structure to perform the claim function doesn't make the connection part of the corresponding structure.
And you're relying on column 4, the language I picked, right?
Exactly. Column 4.
And to provide control to the call data analyzer.
Yes. It states that the DNIS capability, quote, provides control through the call data analyzer.
Okay. So let's assume for purposes of argument that those words weren't in the spec. And to provide control to the call data analyzer 20A wasn't in the spec.
Okay.
Then what would your argument be against what we see of the disclosure in column 6?
The disclosure in column 6...
Your case would be substantially weakened, correct?
It would be, because you do have to look to the specification to identify the corresponding structure that actually performs the claim function, and only the corresponding structure that claims that, I'm sorry, that performs the claim function. And if you look at column 5...
Well, what do you do with your adversary's argument that the word to provide control is just generic, it's kind of a general description, provides some kind of control, whereas column 6 talks about specific control, i.e. identifying the processor? So, I mean,
right.
Well, we have competing disclosures here.
Okay.
Would you agree with that?
Well, I would argue that under his argument that the corresponding structure must perform the claim function by itself, if that were true, you'd actually need to include not only the interface, but you'd have to have the switch. And you can't connect to the processor.
Well, I think your adversary has agreed that the 20A structure doesn't have anything to do with voice recognition.
And that's exactly right. The voice functionality provided by the interface in CAT.
That's in a processor someplace else, right?
That's a separate component that has nothing to do with the claim function.
But if he had his way, structure associated with voice recognition would be included within this particular means plus function claim, correct?
Correct. As part of the corresponding structure. It could arguably be part of the corresponding structure, but when determining whether a prior art structure is equivalent, it's actually impermissible to consider subcomponents that don't that aren't clearly linked to the claim function.
Can you explain to me what the language in column 6 to which your adversary points, what that means? What's that all about?
This is actually just describing how the call is routed, and if you again look at figure 1 on... page 25 of the joint appendix. It's saying that automatic call...
Once a call signal comes in, right?
The call signal comes in, right?
The
automatic call distributor, AC1, okay?
The DNS technique, which is what the claim limitation is talking about, right?
Right, and that's rendered available by the call data analyzer. And it's just describing how this call is routed. It goes from the call distributor... To the interface.
To the interface.
To the interface and the switch, right? So then it goes to the switch, and then it connects to the processors. It's just describing how the call is routed. It's not describing what's the corresponding structure of the means plus function limitation.
Well, isn't the million-dollar question here what structure in this patent actually identifies that 3333, that telephone number, goes to a particular processor?
That is the key.
Is that the elephant in the room?
Yes. The key is identifying the dialed number, which is done by DNIS.
Identifying the dialed number to associate with a particular, as I say, like frequently companies will change their menus.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
And I don't know that, but a processor knows that.
Right. But even if you reprogram the menu, as long as the phone number's the same, it's going to go to the correct routine. And then once...
Well, it goes to the correct routine because there is a processor that recognizes that number that when it comes in and knows that it goes here instead of there.
Right. Well, the processor is just designed to carry out a particular format. So processor 1 could be American Airlines, processor 2 could be a health survey. The call data analyzer just needs to know where to route 3333 to American Airlines. And if you change that number, you just need to somehow reprogram the call data analyzer to understand that processor 1 is now 3331.
Is there any description anywhere in the spec talking about how it is that the patent knows which processor to send a particular telephone number to, once it receives the number, other than at the bottom of column 4 where they say 20A provides control.
It does not go into detail about how the DNIS is implemented. All it does in column 6, it refers to DNIS technology as a standard technology. So they don't go into detail about how the call data analyzer is programmed or what type of algorithm it has. It just says it's a standard technique. And when you look at the interface and how it describes what the interface actually does...
Well, why couldn't... I mean, the switch could perform that function. Do you look at the electronics here? Your call data analyzer and your interface can simply take the numbers being dialed in and ship the number right into the switch. And the switch could be programmed, couldn't it, to know which processor to send the call to.
It's possible. That's possible. The specification doesn't say anything about the switch actually doing that. We have to rely on what the specification discloses
but
here.
What I'm trying to get at is that the only footprint I can find in the spec at all that tells me how the system knows to which processor to send a call to. And let's assume that it wants to go to American Airlines instead of United. So the only thing I could find was this 20A reference to provide control, which supports your case.
Exactly.
But I couldn't find anything else anywhere in the patent that is actually describing the precise function of making certain that the telephone call gets to the right piece of input through a processor to the right place.
Yeah, and the specification does not provide great detail in how that programming, how those algorithms work. The only disclosure of control, you're correct, is in column 4 where it says...
Our law requires, you know, clearly delineating the structure and the spec associated with the function. This is a real bare case, isn't it?
It is a fairly bare case, but I think there's enough here to show that the call data...
But you didn't have an indefinite rejection.
There was no indefinite rejection, you're right. I think on its face, if you're looking at this for the first time, there could be some issue with indefiniteness, but that's not an issue that we're dealing with.
And so why is it that the PTO said if we were to agree with your adversary that either the board got the function wrong or they got the structure associated with the function wrong, you say we have to remand the case?
Because their argument for a reversal, they cite to In re Donaldson. And in that case, the board made a factual finding that the prior art reference to Swift disclosed a hopper having sloped sides that were rigid. And the Fed Circuit, when it construed the means plus function claim, it found...
Well, your problem here is that the board didn't give you an alternative ground.
Here the board did not make any factual finding
They didn't give you an alternative. They didn't back up behind the examiner and say, regardless of what it is you want to pick between the structures that are disclosed, this is obvious. The prior art. I mean, I thought the examiner's ruling was that even on Katz's take on the case, the examiner said, no, that you're still, like the prior art still can't support your claim.
That's correct, yes.
But I mean, what I'm saying is the board the board could have, if it wanted to, given an alternative holding.
They didn't give an express alternative holding. What they did say, if you look at page 6 of the joint appendix, the first page of the board's analysis, the second paragraph and the second full sentence, they talk about what the examiner did. The examiner interpreted the language means to control process conformance of the analysis structure as a means plus function limitation, and they identified the corresponding structure as either an interface processor, a Centrum 9000, or an interface unit. The examiner further found that the DID trunk interface of Moosemiller performs the function specified in the claim and is the same structure or an equivalent structure to the means plus function limitation. And the board said it agreed with the examiner. Okay? And then it went on to say, we actually find that the means plus function limitation should be construed differently. But they did agree with...
But you're not arguing, you're not trying to say that's an alternative holding.
They didn't... It's kind of confusing because they didn't expressly say that under both claim constructions, it's an alternative, you know, ground of rejection.
They didn't have the extra sentence that said, and therefore, we have an alternative holding.
They didn't say anything about...
What I'm trying to get at is that because of your, what I call concession in your brief, we've got to send this case back, I would feel obligated to send it back if we were to agree with Katz on the merits of the initial appeal. But it just seemed to me like a waste of time.
Yeah, I don't think you necessarily have to send it back. I think there's enough support in the record here in what we just discussed in the board decision, what the examiner did, that if you feel confident that the board's rejection, that the board would affirm the rejection even under Katz's proposed construction, which the examiner actually used, if you feel confident that the board would make the same rejection and affirm it, you can actually use your discretion to affirm the board's decision. If you're not confident, you also have discretion to remand. I see I'm out of time here.
Thank you.
Your Honors, several points. First, critically important to correctly identify and construe and understand the recited function. It means to control processing formats. This was emphasized by the examiner, JA2277, underlined. What is controlled are the processing formats. It's not controlling DNIS. It's controlling the processing formats as a matter of grammar, logic, and the description and the specification. Secondly, the call
what
data...
What does it mean to be controlling the process?
Processing formats. So the processor implements... Processors implement different formats, which are essentially interactive applications. This interface 20 is the structure that controls those, as in the passages we looked at. Zero description whatsoever anywhere in the record that the call data analyzer itself is...
Let me ask you this. What's the call data analyzer do?
All it does is, exactly as its name indicates, there's no further description, analyzes call data. An incoming call data stream comes in. That needs to be recognized and interpreted. It may be digital, analog. Its information comes in, needs to be analyzed, and that's all it does. It analyzes it to provide that the BNIS...
And analyze it for what purpose? Analyze it to answer what question?
To pull out the DNIS. To tell the interface processor, the interface 20, what's the DNIS. The interface device, that's how it learns what the DNIS is from the call data analyzer. It analyzes call data. The interface is the device that it uses and controls using that information as expressly described throughout the specification. There's zero description. There's some reference by counsel that call data analyzer could be programmed or it makes routing decisions.
Well, then why does column 4 say that 20A provides control? Because it doesn't provide any control. In your view, it doesn't provide any control at all.
What provides control is the interface 20, including the call data analyzer. The text of this patent says...
You told me the call data analyzer doesn't perform any control.
Control is provided through the call data analyzer, is the text of the patent. It's provided by something else, namely the interface 20 as a whole, provided through the call data analyzer using call data analyzer. It's certainly part of the function, or part of the structure, but it's not the complete
efficiency. I still don't understand why we have 20A and what's it doing. 20A is simply recognizing that the number dial was the number dial, or it was analog number as opposed to digital number.
The system receives call data. It's an incoming data stream. It needs to be interpreted. The call data analyzer...
Electronic impulses, right.
It takes various forms, digital or analog. It needs to recognize what's in that data and provide that information, analyze it. That's all it does. There's no description that it controls.
When it provides the data, when it analyzes, what's the analytic report say?
That's not described, and that's not the claim function. The claim function is what's performed by the interface 20, the connection in which has a processing capability that the call data analyzer does not have. And very quickly, if I could just have a few more seconds on the point of if the court were to agree with our claim construction, there is no basis to remand. There's nothing in the record below. This is a multi-year reexamination. Never once did the examiner in any office action or the answer or the board ever rely on the Yoshizawa reference as having any structural input into this means plus function claim element. Zero. There's nothing in the record whatsoever. It's conceded by the board and in the briefing, although it maybe walked back from that, in the argument that if the claim construction is correct, Moosemiller does not disclose this claim element under the patent owner's proposed construction. Thank you, Your Honors.
Thank you. I would thank both counsel for the case and submitted, and that concludes our proceeding.
All rise. court is adjourned until tomorrow morning at 10 a.m.